大家好，我叫张。
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm 张琪。Well, I noticed that some of you like to take pictures of the slides. Actually, you can find the slides on Channel 9. So if you do want our slides, you don't have to take pictures of the slides. But of course, you can take pictures of me. I don't mind. I'm a software engineer.With Microsoft. As you have probably learned from the last session of the concept of modern standby. So during this session, I will give you a more detailed introduction as to how to do power management and how to do debugging with standby using this modern standby. Here you can see the session agenda. I will talk about the how power is managed among different device classes and how to implement power management so that we can ensure best power efficiency and longest battery life. We will take some common components as examples on power management.And we will talk about how to use tools to analyze the situation of high energy consumption. So how to make analysis and how to resolve these problems so that through this session, you can know how to prolong the battery life.First, let's talk about what is modern standby. If you have, you were with us during the last session, you must have known this concept. It is quite simple. That is to provide the customers with the experience of instant on and off. So if the customer turn on the power, turn on the screen, then,the system is on, and if the customer turns off the screen, then the battery should sustain for a long time. So the standby state is when the screen is off. Actually, this has already been realized on your mobile phones, but we do hope that this experience can be realized on multiple devices, including tablets, laptop. We hope the customers can all get such an experience across different devices. So if the device supports connection standby, actually it started with Windows 8. So when the screen is off, the Wi-Fi, the network connection is still on. So you know that there are some content sync, for example, the live tiles and emails coming in, and you can also receive phone calls. But if the system does not support connection standby, then when the screen is off, the whole network is off. Then almost all softwares are suspended and most of the powers are off and the whole system is at a low power state, but they should be awakened whenever it is necessary. So before we dig deeper, let's take a look at some terminologies so that we can be on the same page. First, what is S state? This is the system sleeping states. So S0 for work state, and S1 to S4 is sleeping states. the course contents are restored on different devices. You are familiar with S4, that is like the dormant state. So the contents should be on the disk. For S5, the whole system is shut down. The D state is a description of the power states of device. So D0 is for active state. For D1 to D3 is low power state. Next to which powers are off and which functions are still running, it depends on what kind of device and what kind of bus it is. S0, low power idle state. So if the system supports modern standby, then the chip should be supporting such a state. The whole system is at S0 state, a working state. However, the chip should be at the lowest power state. So the next quite a long terminology, DIP, is the runtime idle platform state, also known as DRIPS. This is a often used terminology. It is equal to low power consumption state, and you will encounter the terminology DRIPS more often. Another concept, activator, that is when the system is at standby, then this activator will run at the back stage. And the system will come back to the DRIPS, which is a low power consumption state. Well, let me give you an example to indicate how different components of a system work together so as to reduce power consumption. For example, if we have a tablet here. Some people say it is like a Christmas tree. This flashing, it shows a very busy system. You see different apps, different services, different softwares that are constantly running. And you can imagine that all the hardware are also busy running. So on such a busily running system, the total energy consumption is 3.1 watt. So if you push the start, the power button, and turn off the screen, then this GPU stops working with the power off. And because of instant off, the system power consumption is reduced constantly, instantly to 900 milliwatt. Of course, however, this is still not the most ideal result. And then the system is suspended. And when the softwares are suspended, the hardware will enter idle states. Then it enters into D state with power off. So SOC enters DRIPS state. And this is the most ideal state during standby in terms of power consumption. It is only 50 milliwatt. So if your system supports 30 watt hour of capacity, then that means your battery can work 600 hours. That is extremely long hours of battery life. So what if such an ideal scenario cannot be achieved? What if there's a problem with this CFU? Then the USB hub cannot be turned off. Then SOC cannot enter DRIPS state, and there will be some visits to memory. So what is the energy consumption, that is 650 milliwatts. So comparing to 50 milliwatts I mentioned, that is a 13 times increase of energy consumption. It is probably because of some minor glitches of GPS. That's why we cannot achieve the most ideal energy consumption state. So I do hope that through today's session, you can better know how these components work together and how can we really achieve the 50 milliwatt, the most ideal state, and when problems occur, what kind of tools can we use to solve these problems. So let me talk about the modern standby power flow. So when the system's power, when the screen turns from on to off, then the system's workload is lower. So first, through software. Through software suspension. And because no visits to software, and accordingly, hardware will have more idles and energy consumption will be lowered. And these processes are simultaneously conducted. But when the activities is at the lowest level, and if the constraints are at low level, then all constraints are satisfied. The CPU power is off, then the whole system enters drips state. For hardware, especially form factors, it's not that only when the screen is off can it enter this S2 or S3. So when the screen is off, actually the power should be turned off so as to reduce power consumption. Now let's take a look at software and hardware flow respectively. It involves several states, including screen on to off, connection phase, PLM phase, maintenance, DAM phase, resiliency. You should remember the names of these different phases, and different types of softwares are suspended during different phases. The most important phase, the last one, resiliency. And when entering the resiliency, then it will notify the network to enter low power state. It will also enforce the timer to expire. That is when the system is wakened, timer is expired. This can reduce as much as possible the time consumed during waking the CPU and energy consumption. So that is for software. How about hardware? So as long as the hardware is not used, then it should enter a low power consumption state. Only the powering done on SOC host, when all the powers are off, then the controllers will turn off the power, as you could have already seen from one of the lists. So if CPU is off, then the system enters resiliency. Then when the CPU power is down, the socks powering will be down, then the whole system enter drips. Of course, it is still active. It can be wakened anytime you want. So this is how software and hardware were suspended at the same time so as to reduce the power consumption of the system as most as possible. So during standby, actually some code can be executed, and only during interrupts and on-demand interrupts can wake the device out of drips and execute the code. And activators can complete necessary work, then the system returns to drips. So you have to make sure that the system gets quiet and then get back, returns to Drake's. Here are some of the examples of the interrupts. Well, this is not a complete table, and you will find a complete table on MSDN. But you have to pay attention that only this user-initiated events can open the display. For example, the user turn on the power button or click on the keyboard. Only these moves can open the display screen. Then the system access the standby state, or else the system is in standby, only executing some codes.
在系统集成中，我们应该注意。
Now I would like to say a few words about the issues in system integration. From that fancy slide, we can see that system integration requires each component to work properly and accurately. Only by doing that can we hit the lowest level of power consumption, so any error could make it unable to enter drips. Rather, it would consume 10 plus times of energy consumption. So here is not just about one component. It covers all the firmware, and the ACPI and the UFI, and the device drivers. And all of this need to work correctly, so as to make sure that the energy consumption will be minimum. So for any system integration, if each and every component can hit the lowest energy consumption, let's take a look at this power budget. Well, the specific numbers should be set and calculated by vendors. This chart is very useful to analyze power consumption and analyze the problems generated out of power. We can give you more details later. On this budget, it's highly precise. It reaches the level of MW, milliwatt. Some people may have some knowledge about this when the screen is on, but you know, when the screen is off, it may have some impact on the power consumption. So how do we manage power for different Windows devices? When devices are on, it's at a stage of DO, when it's off, it's D2 and D3. As to which status it's in, D2 or D3, it's up to that device. But what is the determining factor? Well, that's up to the power policy owner, PPO. I'm gonna give you the details in the next slide. Then you will see each device has a different status. And there is a very detailed documentation on MSDN. If you want to know which device has which status, please contact us or read this documentation. Control of power rails is done through ACPI. So what is power policy owner, PPO? PPO is a driver. And this device needs to change in the stack. And it's different for each device class. I'll give you some examples later. PPO monitors device activity. When this device is in idle state, for some period of time, if it is still idle, it will convert that into off status. PPO can also determine that a device is active due to higher level software activities. Even if, say, it is idle, I'll turn it into a D0. at some point of time. It's not to say that you force it to turn to D0. If this device cannot be turned into a lower energy consumption state, all the other components can turn the power off. If you're familiar with WDF, I strongly suggest that you use WDF to write the codes for drivers, because there are already some built-in codes for power management. So if you use WDF, it's very convenient to write driver's codes. You also make sure that power management functions are there. Device and bus have very strong interactions. Only bus controllers are out of when all the children are no longer in a working state. We've stressed this many times. Some people believe, say, I just need to manage our devices. That's okay. But, you know, these devices will have a huge impact on the overall power consumption. So if you cannot manage the top level, the rest of the system will consume a lot of power as well. And this is just an overview of power management of common components. If you want to know more details, or want to know, say, which component to be managed, or how this component is managed, you have to go read the documentations. First, let's look at Wi-Fi. Its PPO is a built-in driver, which is called NDIS. The appropriate target DE state for an IC is bus dependent. NDIS can check its bus type, and then you will know what is its target D state. The miniport is the key driver. The miniport driver is usually provided by a third party to convert the status of power. One in idle, Wi-Fi has a huge impact on the power consumption. Usually Wi-Fi really consumes a lot of power. When we debug Wi-Fi power, you have to see a power consumption when Wi-Fi is at different status. Say, if Wi-Fi receiver is closed, or a Wi-Fi receiver is open but the network is not open, or when there is some packages sent or received. Under different scenarios, you have to know the power consumption from Wi-Fi. It's very, very important and helpful for you to debug the Wi-Fi power consumption. And Wi-Fi can also wake the SOC chip. You also need to know whether Wi-Fi will generate some fake wake up or some unnecessary interruptions, which also could lead to a rise of CPU power consumption. This is Wi-Fi. Audio subsystem. Its PPO is port CI, also an inbox driver. And the audio streaming is the key to determine the status of, say, D0 or D3. Usually DO, it's the expected power consumption is less than 100 milliwatt. In D3, it's less than 1 milliwatt. But be aware, even with very small power consumption, the headset plug-in and plug-out should be detected. For its power budget chart, if possible, it should also have a very detailed description of power consumption under different scenarios, it's also very useful for you to debug the power consumption for audio subsystem. LPA is a systemic state. So lower power audio, LPA, is that, like, so many people are like to turn the screen off while listening to music because they want to use that a battery for a longer time. In order to support LPA, the audio device should be HAP, the hardware offloaded audio processing, which means that the mixing and processing can be implemented in hardware rather than software. And device uses 1 sec buffers instead of 10 milliseconds, because doing it this way, we can wake up the CPU less often. We have done some experiments in this area. If it is HAP rather than a software driven, the battery life can be up by 5 to 10%. It is not to say that all the audio vehicles have to be HAP. If it does not require a higher energy consumption from CPU, it could also be a software driven. So when the whole system is under a low energy consumption status, users can also listen to music. We've done some tests to see sometimes audio playback can last up to 1 hour, which is more than 4 days. That is very long of music playback. But usually under such scenarios does not support LPA, so it can increase the battery life by up to 4 times. Well, USB power management, the bus USB bus PPO is HCL or EHCL. The USB device PPO is function driver FDO. Each USB device has a different PPO. USB devices must support selective suspension. As USB, if USB devices are not suspended, the controller cannot enter D3. So if you're not using it, you have to make it to have selective suspension. If this USB device need to be woken up remotely, its status should be D2 rather than D3. SATA is another example. Its PPO is also an inbox driver called store port. The mini port is the execution part. In order to have the best state of energy consumption, different SATA devices have different requirements. For SSD, it supports dead sleep. SHD or SSD, and it will get D3 code support from the platform. For NVMe SSDs, if it is in non-operable status, the energy consumption should be lower than 5 milliwatt, and do not enable device initiated power management on SATA. SOC chip. Its power management is a rather complex issue. The SOC power state is the sum of all the states of all the devices. Usually, the SOC power state is determined when the CPU are idle. The OS keeps a list of devices. If you want to let SOC enter drips, each and every component controller should be at different status. Only when all those components have reached the corresponding status, and when all those software are in suspension, the CPU can turn its power off and the whole system enter the status of drips. So all power management actions are controlled by the operating system with collaboration from SOC specific drivers and firmware. Just now, are some very common examples of firmware, but it's not a full list of examples. If you want to know more, please check out the documentations yourself. Next, I want to talk about the process for analyzing battery drain issues. To debug battery issues, first of all, you need to have a testing environment. There are some prerequisites for this testing environment. Hardware-wise, well, these conditions are very straightforward. First of all, the battery gauge is accurately reporting its charge. It has to be accurate and correct. If there is any wrong information, any debugging makes no sense. And SOC and PMIC are, or should be, power representative. If it is at a very initial stage, when SOC and the PMIC has not reached a mature status, or is only run in some simulation, a testing for power consumption makes no sense either. And all off-SOC device components should also support low power operation and are wired to switchable power planes. And physical ports for kernel and hardware debugging connections should also be available. Firmware. You have to properly configure firmware. If you do not need, for example, some external devices, you should disconnect them. Software. All devices should install the latest drivers. And after that, it should open the device manager to make sure there is no signs of warning there. And the Wi-Fi connectivity has to be very reliable. Otherwise, we'll compromise the judgment.
I believe you have already seen this slide if you were with us during the last session. Well, actually, during this whole process, we need such a to iterate from simple to more complex. We need to have a power budget. And you have to define, you have to have a test platform, and you have to define the scenario. And the scenarios needs to be from simple to more complex. And at first, you should disconnect the network, and then you measure the energy consumption, and to compare the actual values with your expectations. And you have to make an analysis what problems occurred, why the expectations cannot be reached. And only when all expectations are met can you move on to the next step. So how to measure the power consumption? Just now, our last speaker mentioned the sleep study. This tool, it is quite a simple but handy tool. So before you do any complex testing, you should go with a sleep study. it can get a data reported, a battery report. You can get first-hand report and information on the power consumption. I will give you an example later, and I do recommend that you should have a accurate testing system. With this system, you should be able to test the changes of currents. And you should not only know the average energy consumption value, but you have to know the value flow as time goes by, and then combining the energy consumption report, then you will know the energy consumption at the range that you are interested in. So that is quite a simple but very helpful tool. So here is an example. Say you can compare the actual values with expected. If you find that the actual energy consumption is very high, so how can you know the reasons behind? First, you should look at software. You have to look at whether there are problems with softwares. If the software is not suspended when it should be, then it causes the activities of hardware, then it makes no sense for you to adjust the hardware. So if all the softwares are quiet, are off, then you should take a look at hardware. Well, if still the energy consumption is high, you need to look deeper into the reasons. And if it is caused by software, of course, you need to contact the software developer and to ask them why the software is not suspended when it should be suspended. So if it cannot reach the D state, you should contact the PPU developer or contact the Microsoft to ask to find what problems are there. And of course, you should also contact the hardware vendors to let vendors test what might be the reasons. Just now what I mentioned are all within a quiet lab environment. So if all the requirements are met, can we say the system is perfect? No, the answer is often no. So it's better that we have a testing system for the real scenario. So we can have a system that users can do internal testing, because a lot of the problems occur when it is put into real use. These problems sometimes cannot be found during the lab phase, lab environment. So for example, the power stability, the problems with power stability can be found by the customers themselves, and also the thermal heat problems. This cannot be tested in the labs. And for example, Wi-Fi internet connections, this cannot be found. These problems cannot be found in labs, only through actual user scenario. Actually, we have done a lot of work as to how to remotely get the info from the user and to analyze the bugs in so as to properly solve these bugs. So what are the available diagnostic tools? Sleep study. We mentioned this tool several times because it is simple but useful, and we have done a lot of work to make it to improve sleep study. So as long as it is in the standby state, and it can report on standby sessions that lasted more than 10 minutes over the last 3 days. In order to have such a report, you need to input power, CFG sleep study, you can produce an HTML file reporting and can be opened in any browser. So it can monitor the changes of the battery, including other incidents. Here you can see an example of the sleep study report. If you open the HTML file, you will see a summary and what is the version of Windows and when the report was made, produced, and you will see a very clear chart showing you the battery usage over the past 3 days. And when there is no line, actually that means the device is off. And for this dotted line, it means the battery is being charged. The gray line shows that is when the screen is on. And it is color-coded. For the red line, it means the standby state with problems. And also this red line is where we need to pay attention to, we need to look into. And you will find such a list, a sessions summary. It will show you the start time and how long the duration of the standby, the energy charge, energy consumption, what is the charge the rate, and the time of drapes. And the shorter drapes is, it shows there are problems. It is a color coding scheme. Green is in good state, but red indicating problems. If you scroll down the page, you will see at different range the specific problems. For these red ones, it shows what actions, what problems cause you not to enter drapes. For example, the first line, 99% of time is at D0 rather than D3. And you will see BI, that is an activator, as background infrastructure. That's a BI activator. It causes some Wi-Fi network activities. So this is a very straightforward, very clear indication of the analysis. So sleep study can give a summary of the battery situation for the past 3 days. Sometimes if you are interested in knowing what happens with different as time goes by, you will see a different period what is happening. You can achieve this with WPA, Windows Performance Analyzer. You can launch this and you will see the diagrams giving you the reports, including which device should be in which state and when it entered drapes, and if it didn't, what were the problems. And WPA can give you in detail the different stages, when software at different stages. So sleep study and WPA, you can have a hands-on experience in our lab sessions. Another tool provided by Intel that is called Intel Energy Profiler, you can download this tool online. sleep study, WPA, could help you find a better managed battery. The Intel tool can help you in terms of hardware, especially in terms of CPU, GPU, battery state, and the residency period. It will also give you some situation of the kernel and thermal management can also be achieved through this tool. With Windows 8 and the most updated Intel micro architecture, all these are available. Well, I do have a few minutes, so I can give you the demo of Sleep Study and WPA.
谢谢 Emily。刚才说到 Sleep
Study. Well, just now I said that Sleep Study is really useful, is really handy. So I will show you exactly how. So under this command window, you input power CFG, Sleep Study. So very fast.It produces this report. We can open this report. So now the device that is running is still under development. So there are some issues, bugs with this system. So you can see the red line indicating the problems. First of all, you can see which device it is, which BIOS, which operating system, and this battery charge, battery usage. It is, for most of the time, it is at high power consumption state, so the line is coded in red. You can see the different standby stages. The power charge is above 300 milliwatts. Drape's rate is relatively, is quite low. Lower than 90% of drapes. You can see the first standby range, standby stage, drapes 0%. That means no time in drapes. So top offenders, the main reasons, you see wireless is the problem. So on this device, there's problems with the wireless driver. So you can click networking. You will see which specific wireless causes this problem. That is the WLAN. WLAN is the reason why it could not enter drip state. And for the second stage, it entered drips. And for most of the time, it sustains 8 minutes without being woken. You can see networking wireless is still the main problem. So this is a very simple, very useful summary report generated by Sleep Study. Another report generated by WPA. You can input WPA UI. Then such a recorder is produced. You can see this recorder interface. You need to click power usage provider. Login mode. You can choose between memory or file. For memory, it's using circling buffer. There might be some data loss, but for file, there's no data loss. That's why we choose file. And then start. It will record what will happen during this duration. Then you click save. It can be saved under the according file, ETL file. Since I have already had a file, so I will just open this file with WPA. There's problems with the USB. To the left side, you see this one, power. You unroll this power, you will see this diagnostic charts. This visualized windows related to power. This one, drips, is what we are most interested in. So this table can show you how much of the time is non-drips state. You will see 99% of the time is non-drips. So what are the reasons? You see here, can see there's problems with this XHC, this USB driver. It can also identify what are the constraints that were not met. So see, it needs to be in the D3 state, however it is in D0 state, that's why it cannot enter drips. And you will also see a lot of information from this charts. You see this one, that is the called the device D state. And through this table, you can see POFX device, it's USB XHCI, 100% of duration is in D0 state. That's why it could not enter drips state. The sleep study and WPA in the afternoon session for tomorrow at 1:40 and 4:40 p.m. We'll have lab sessions. If you're interested, you can get a hands-on experience tomorrow afternoon. Well, a call to action. I do encourage you to get involved in our afternoon session for tomorrow. You can fill all these products, these tools, and you should follow such rules, or not rules, or suggestions. First, you need to have a power budget. With power budget, can you optimize the battery life to reach your ideal target? And also considering the battery life target, you can work out what is the ideal battery capacity.
设计实现的过程中
In making our design happen, you may change your components. So that power budget is necessary. because with that you can hit your expected battery life. Microsoft has also provided a lot of resources, including MSID and documentation WDF, especially the power management part. I hope that you can try to make full use of the resources provided by Microsoft so that you can better develop your codes to manage power. And when you are designing, you should also have a MIDI or what platform, so if there is anything wrong on your battery, you will know exactly where the problem is. And a internal testing environment will also be provided. So as to make sure that the battery life for our customers will be at the best state. So let's join hands to provide the best user experience to our clients. And if you have any feedback or questions, you can contact our colleagues, say Emily or Greg. Please rate this session, and you can make ratings here through this link. Alright, that's all from my part. Any questions? If you have any questions, you can also talk with us offline. We're very pleased to answer your questions. Alright, that's it. Thank you.